So the first recognizable social media site, Six Degrees, was created in 1997, rather, I should say. Yet social media started emerging during the 1970s. Why did it take so long for social media to become more sophisticated?
Well, largely it's really about the platforms, I guess, and people's access to the right technology for you know, joining and using social media. Of course, if you go back to the 70s, really what we had in terms of electronic communication was bulletin boards and the first inklings of very publicly accessible internet. And it's taken quite a while, of course, for that to really develop into the sites and platforms that we have today. It's needed the web to come along to begin with and to become popular. And then, of course, it's needed broadband access, it's needed mobile access, and the right devices, I guess, to really interact with social media in the way that we do now.
Yes, of course, some fascinating stuff to say the least, and one really fascinating area of this is the popular culture landscape. Yeah, how has the popular culture landscape developed and changed since the introduction of social media?
I suppose really one of the big changes is that social media provide a channel for celebrities, for you know, politicians, of course, for sports people, for anyone who's a, who's in public life, who's visible in public life, to really connect much more directly with their fans, their followers, their the people who perhaps oppose them as well and who argue against them. So it's really provided a much more direct way of getting your information out, of letting your fans know about your latest release or your upcoming concerts or your new movies, of letting enabling you know politicians to speak directly to their voters as well, sometimes with positive, sometimes with negative consequences. So it's that really directness and that really direct engagement, I guess, outside of more traditional mainstream media channels that's really changed the way that all of this operates.
Yes, I suppose most of us do know of one politician or pop culture identity turned politician that uses one social media platform quite vociferously and with a very viral effect, it would seem. It seems when he tweets, the whole world reacts. Now, in the past, we've seen cyber trends where we've got networks like Bebo and MySpace, some of you might remember them, where they were quite popular at the time for you know social media interaction, but have pretty much disappeared and faded out from the space. Why do we see social media trends lose popularity over time, or rather sites lose popularity over the time?
You know, on the one hand, I think it's a question of the technology. Some of these sites were at the height of their technology when they started, but then are overtaken by others that offer different features or a better design or just more convenient apps or whatever it might be. On the other hand, too, I think there's sort of a generational process, I think, where as new people join social media, you know, as younger people join social media, for instance, they may not want to be on the same platform as their older siblings, as their parents, as their grandparents, and so they might go somewhere else. And then as the next generation joins, the same process repeats again. So people move from, I don't know, from Facebook to Twitter to Instagram to WhatsApp to Snapchat to whatever the next thing is, and in order to kind of get away from their usual familial social circles and be in a space of their own where they might not be so visible to their family members and to their older siblings and so on.
Yes, as well. I mean, there are also social media platforms that almost have these, they're really region specific, and especially we see in China and Japan completely different social media platforms are the ones where you have the highest amount of participation and users from you know people within those countries. How do you think that's going to change over time? Are we likely to see a kind of a greater division of the duopoly that many would argue kind of face, well, maybe not duopoly, but kind of oligopoly of a few big social media sites in you know the Western countries that have kind of managed to infiltrate countries like China and Japan, but not with the same success that you know WeChat or other brands have. Do you think we're going to see more divides? Could there be a kind of an Australian unique social media platform that developed in the future?
Well, one thing we've got to remember is, of course, sometimes that's simply driven by country policy as well. So Weibo is very popular in China, and is really one of the biggest social media sites in the world because, of course, there is a very large online population in China now. But it's popular there because Twitter and Facebook simply aren't available to the ordinary user. They're not. Then you can't get to them through the Great Firewall of China, as it's called. So in some ways, in some places, it's simply it's the default platform because others aren't available. But at the same time, you're right. In some other places, in Russia, for instance, there's a platform called VKontakte, which is very, very popular there, but hardly used outside of the country. And there it might be more that there is a sort of a sense that all of these largely American-based platforms like Facebook and Twitter are not the appropriate places to be in if you're Russian and if you don't want to just buy in wholesale into American culture. And perhaps you're worried about, you know, the supervision or the surveillance possibilities there as well. So to some extent, yes, there are these more cultural and perhaps political reasons for being on a different platform from other countries. Having said that, historically, we've also seen that some of these unique national solutions end up gradually disappearing because as people network, particularly internationally, of course, it's very difficult if you're on one platform and the rest of the world is on the other to really connect with that rest of the world. So, for instance, in Germany, there's been platforms like StudiVZ, which was a very popular platform for a while, that's been now almost entirely taken over by Facebook, because through Facebook you can connect to everyone else in the world as well. In Australia, I think, you asked that question, I think the horse has bolted. It's very difficult to really imagine a uniquely Australian platform. Because so many of us have international connections, because simply also through the shared language of English, we are very interested in what happens in other parts of the world, in other English-speaking parts of the world particularly. So there is a really big incentive for us to be on Facebook, to be on Twitter, and to see what's going on in the US, in the UK, elsewhere in the world as well. We are very unlikely, I think, to leave all of that behind, to disconnect ourselves from that, simply in order to be on a local Australian social media platform.
Indeed. And 20 years on from now, as we celebrate the 20th anniversary of the first social media platform as we really know it in terms of the web, can we see, you know, what do you think might be some of the things we appreciate or do differently 20 years on?
For one thing, I think the platforms themselves might of course change. We've seen this sort of ongoing turnover in platforms. As you've said, MySpace used to be quite big and is now practically gone, and other platforms before that as well. So the names may well change. Facebook, certainly Twitter, may no longer be around in 20 years' time. What I think, though, is that in many ways the functions that some of these platforms fulfill will continue. So if you look at Facebook as very much a platform to create fairly dense social networks with people that you probably also know in your offline life, versus Twitter as a platform that you use to connect with people really right around the world, and particularly to follow celebrities and politicians and so on. Then you've got Instagram very much for image sharing and video sharing now as well. And you've got platforms like Snapchat and WhatsApp, again, with their own specific purposes and utility. So I think these sorts of roles for different platforms will probably continue, but I think the names might change. So it may no longer be Twitter. It might be something else that comes along and fulfills that very fast, very, very broad connection with the rest of the world. It might be something else that, rather than Facebook, that enables us to connect more locally and more closely with our friends and family. What will also probably happen is, of course, that the technology that we use to use all of these platforms, to connect with all of these platforms, will continue to advance. Now, of course, the mobile phone is very much the device of choice to connect with social media. As we move on from here, 20 years from now, well, who knows, we might come back to having something like the Google Glass or some other head-up display, I guess, in your glasses. Or
yes,
you might have,
who
have
knows, indeed.
Implants or something.
And it's an absolutely exciting space to watch. We appreciate you joining us, Professor Axel Bruns.
Thank you.